Okay, good morning, all. So we were up to the end of the last few Mishnayot of Perek Gimel of Chapter 3, so let's jump right in. Arba'a Asar Shechal Lios B'Shabbos. Let's say the 14th of Pesach, when we normally burn our chametz, well, let's say that falls on Shabbos, so you can't burn your chametz on Shabbos, obviously. So what do you do in that situation? Mevarim Esakol Levnei HaShabbos. Well, says the first opinion of the Mishnah, which we'll see as Rabbi Meir, he says that you should burn all the chametz, you should destroy all the chametz before Shabbos. Very simple. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's what Rabbi Meir says. V'chachamim omrim l'chachamim say bizmanah. No, really, you destroy all the chametz in its appropriate time. In other words, according to Rabbi Meir, what do? Well, you save the absolute bare minimum for Shabbos, right? Obviously, you need lechem mishnah for Shabbos and the like, so you save the absolute bare minimum for Shabbos, and then really everything else should be destroyed before Shabbos. According to the Chachamim, really, you should destroy everything in the time of, meaning, according to the Chachamim, you should not be concerned about destroying your chametz before Shabbos. Rather, on Shabbos, you should just be able to save as much as you want so that you can use for meals and enjoy your lavish chametz sudas, up until the appropriate time. Accordingly, there are other ways other than burning chametz that you could destroy the chametz, right? So you would have to follow those points of view if you would obviously have extra chametz. But the chachamim were less concerned that you would have all this chametz left over. They assume people will eat it and take care of it for you. But finally, a third opinion, Rabbi Elazar ben Bar Tzadok Omer. Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok says, Truma Melefnei HaShabbos. He says, when it comes to burning truma, that you should take care of before Shabbos. Why? Because truma can only be eaten by a kohen, and let's say there are just not so many kohanim around, so you're concerned that it might not be consumed. So that you should take care before Shabbos, because you don't know if it's going to be eaten on Shabbos. But when it comes to the non-truma food, all the other non-kodesh food, that stuff you can take care of in its usual time on Shabbos, again, because people can eat it over Shabbos and the like. Mishnah Zion. Haholich l'shchot es pischo. Let's say a person is going to do a mitzvah. For example, a person is going to slaughter his korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan. V'lamul es beno, or he's going to circumcise his son on the 14th. V'lechol sudas ha'irusin mevesi achamib, or a person who is about to get married. He's having the Erisin, right? The engagement meal. Back in the day, they used to separate Erisin and Nisuin. They used to get engaged, and about 12 months later, usually that's when they would get properly married. So they used to have this big meal. So let's say a groom is going on the 14th of Nisan, right on Erev Pesach, to have this big feast at his father-in-law's house. And this guy remembers while he's on the road that he has chametz. He has chametz in his house. So what does he do? So if he is able to first go home, destroy his chametz, and then go back to do the mitzvah, well, then he should just go back, destroy his chametz, and then just go back and do the mitzvah. It's as simple as that. But if he doesn't have all this time to do this, where he would essentially miss out on the mitzvah, then what does he do? He should nullify the chametz in his heart and then in his mind, and then everything would be fine. He doesn't have to worry about going back to actually destroy it. But let's say l'hatzil min hanachrim. Let's say a person is saving someone from a group of evil idolaters or non-Jewish people who are not doing something good. Min hanahar, or let's say from a river that's probably like flooding over. The guy's drowning. You would assume something like that. Min halistim, or from some robbers. Min hadleika, from a fire. Min hamapolis, or from a collapsed building. In all these situations, when obviously you don't say, "Hold on one second, I have to go back to my host, to my home to burn some chametz." In this, all these situations, yivatel b'libo, he should nullify the chametz in his heart, in his mind, and that'll take care of all of the chametz that he owns. But let's say a person wants to, what we call, establish kind of a residence for obviously like an optional purpose. In other words, on Shabbos, we know that we have a prohibition to go past 2,000 amos, to go past what we call tchum, right, the border of the city. So let's say, but what you could do on Shabbos is you could extend that border. In other words, you can say, I'm starting in point A, point B will be my real residence, quote-unquote, and that'll be my real starting point, and then I would be able to walk an additional 2,000 amos beyond that. So let's say, on Erev Pesach, I'm going to establish this extra reshus. So yachzor miyad. In that situation, the chachamim had no sympathy for this guy, and in that situation, he has to go back immediately to destroy his chametz if he had not yet done so. And then we'll just conclude with the final mishnah of the perek, Mishnah 8. V'chein mi sheyatza miyushalayim v'niskar sheyesh b'yado basar kodesh. Let's say a person has extra meat that was kodesh, right, that was sanctified, that he had to eat in the city of Jerusalem, and the halach is that if you leave the city with this meat, then you have to actually burn it. You can no longer eat it anymore. It has to be burned. It's considered a not not edible enough from a halakhic standpoint. So what do you do if you leave the city, if you leave Jerusalem, and you remember that you have this meat with him? Im avar Tzofim, if you pass the city, the village of Tzofim, which basically, that's the final point that was considered the point where you can see the Temple Mount, but past that point, no, everyone agrees that you cannot see it. So if you pass Tzofim, this city, Sarfo bimkomo, you just have to burn this Kodesh in your place, right at wherever you are. Chazal don't say you have to go all the way back to Jerusalem because you're seemingly pretty far away at this point. But if you have not passed Tzofim, what do you do? If you're not past this village yet, you have to go back to Jerusalem and burn it on the Bira, which is machlokus what the Bira is, but let's assume for right now that the Bira is a special place on Har HaBayis where the burning of these sorts of things took place, and you have to burn it there with the wood that was sort of sanctified for the use on the altar. And then finally, the Perek concludes that kamahin chuzrin. So how much in both of these cases, when it comes to the chametz and the kodesh, does one have to go back? Does one have to return for? Are we talking about little crumbs? Or are we talking about a minimum requirement? Rabbi Meir says zev zev bekabetza. In both these situations, both the chametz and the this hektesh stuff that you have, this holy meat, you have to go back for a kabetza. Rabbi Yehuda, that's the volume we're talking about. Rabbi Yehuda Omer zev zev bekazayas. No, Rabbi Yehuda says no. It's actually less than that. It's just a kazayas. V'chachamim omer, the chachamim say basar kodesh bekazayas. When it comes to the holy meat that you have over here, that we're talking about an olives volume, the chametz bekabetz. And when it comes to chametz, we're talking about an eggs volume, and that's how much you would have to return for. Okay, that brings us to the end of Perek Gimel, and God willing, tomorrow we will continue with Perek Dalet.